Brian has stated that I come here from Glendon, and all but my oldest daughter is married, and my oldest son, he got home a little late. He made it in time to go to our home church of Glendon. I want to say up front, I do not have all the answers. So, but I do, I think as parents, as the older we get, the more we learn in life, life's instances, things that happen, each child is different. We learn quite a bit as we get older. I'm going to share a parable tonight that Jesus illustrates very well, but I want to look at it from a different perspective. But I want to look at the one verse that our brother shared in song number 903. It says in the latter part of that, second verse, teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Keep those words in your mind as we go look at this passage of scripture tonight, because that ties in perfectly with the passage of scripture we're going to look at. The topic I was given, I chose, really, confusing love and leniency in parenting. And when I was speaking with John Reeser about the topics, I chose this one because I have a lot to learn as a parent as well. Our youngest is 6, our oldest is 20, but as long as you have children, you still have some form of input in their lives, whether they're out of the home, in the home. So I chose this topic because I feel I had a lot to learn as well. So I hope tonight as we go look at this topic that you can leave here tonight with a renewed sense of what it means to be a parent, what it means to be a father. And I'm going to use my role quite a bit tonight as a father because I'm a father. I relate to that. You mothers relate to that as well. So confusing love and leniency in parenting was the topic. I'm going to open up with a short story. I like stories. Children, this might apply to you. This applied to me many, many years ago. Maybe not in this way, but the setting was very fitting. The story of a young father and mother who had a few young children. Young children between the ages of 1 and 4. Now there was a 3-year-old boy who every Sunday in church just would not sit still quietly on the bench. This little boy would make noise, talk loudly, and think it was an all-around playground. The father, week after week, would take the little child out, talk to him about the importance of sitting still in church, and come back in. Most Sundays, spending more time out of the service than in the service. This particular Sunday, the little boy is more unsettled than normal. The father leans over and says, "If you don't sit still, I'm going to take you out to the bathroom and spank you." Now, none of us has ever had our father say that to us, right? I have. A long, long time ago. The startled look on the little boy's face said it all. He was never spanked before, but the look on his father's eyes was saying that his father meant it. A few minutes went by, and the little boy quickly forgot what his father had said, and he began to act up again. So the father picked him up and turned to exit the bench and go back the center aisle towards the back of the church. When all of a sudden, the little boy shouts, "Pray for me!" The father, at this point, frustrated by the child's actions, cracks a smile. Does he follow through with what he told the child was going to happen, or does he let the child dictate his actions? I myself, when I was young, was taken out of church. I was disciplined. I've disciplined my children. I've taken them out during church. It's a prime example of a place where we're supposed to be attentive, to want to learn. But that starts not in church. That starts at the home. Something that I think we can all relate to. There are 3 things that stick out to me in this topic, and they're in the title. Love is one, leniency, and a parent. 3 basic things that we all, at one point in our lives, most of us are. We've shown love. We have love. We can show leniency. We can be lenient, or somebody has shown us leniency. And for most of us, we are a parent. If you're not a parent now, you've had a parent. So try to put yourself in their shoes. I want to open up with those three things. What is love? What is a parent? And what is leniency? And then we'll get into our passage of scripture that I feel the Lord had led me to in looking at this topic. So what is love? A strong feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, such as for a parent to a child. Love is a connection. Love is something that we show compassion. We just have empathy towards that person. Love is something that is ingrained in us from little on up from our parents. Love is something that is evident. 1 Corinthians 13:4 explains love quite clearly. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And the last part of that, love never fails. One thing we're all going to learn tonight in this passage of scripture is the love that this person had for this child. No matter what transpired, this person loved no matter what. And I asked as a question, your children act up. Do you love them still? Absolutely. Absolutely. As a father, I love my children dearly. I would do anything for my children. As parents, you would do anything for your children. It's the core of who you are as a parent. Another question that arose was, what did Jesus show to others as he ministered to them? He showed them love. He showed them compassion. We are to be the example of Jesus. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters and our children. Love is an action. Love is not just something we can sit idly by and expect to happen. As a parent, we need to show our children that we love them. It's not just, well, my dad loves me. Why? How? How do you know your parent loves you? Because he shows me this, he does this. My dad loves me. I look back years ago and I know my dad loved me. I know my dad loved me. Not just because he said in word, but because in deed. I have lots of questions. So I ask questions mainly tonight just to get our minds stirred up, to get our thoughts going. So another question that arose is love difficult to show? Especially when you see what comes down the road if the correct path is not chosen. You understand why here in a few minutes. What is a parent? And this is according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. A parent is a person who brings up and cares for another. However, a parent does not necessarily mean that you biologically pass your genetics to the child. A parent can take on different forms, such as a grandparent, a legal guardian, or a foster parent. Foster parent. There's many, many children out there who need a home. Question. I have three questions here, and then we get to leniency. Question number one, is parenting always easy? Parenting is a cakewalk, right? You wake up, children do all their things, they do their chores, they do their schoolwork, if you homeschool, and everything is just a breeze. No. Parenting is not easy. Parenting is one of the most difficult jobs. I think parenting is the most difficult job out there. You have one chance at being a parent. One chance. And it seems like from ages when they're born until they go off to get married or they go into the service, wherever God has called them, that time seems so long, but the time goes so quick. Parenting is a very difficult job. Another question, do parents always make the right choices or decisions? And don't question yourself. Don't live in the past. I mean, you can't live in, well, I made that mistake and now that's all I'm going to dwell on. Don't live in the past. We will all make mistakes as parents. Just something to get our minds going. Do parents always make the right choices or decisions? Children, a question for you. Do you think you could make the best or the right decisions that your parents have made or will make? Put yourself in your parents' shoes. Do you think you can make a better decision or better choice than what your parents made in that time? Difficult decisions, financial, church, types of entertainment, whatever you do, camping, wherever you go, do you think you can make a better choice than your parents? What is leniency? The fact or quality of being more merciful or tolerant than expected. Leniency, as far as in being a parent, leniency, showing grace, showing mercy, is some of the hardest things to do because a lot of times we see the hurt in the child. We see that it makes them sad. We'll learn later on here that we can't parent based on feeling. We can't parent based on feeling or emotion. So again, the question is, can you be a lenient parent or person and still show love? I'm going to ask this question multiple times tonight. Can you be a lenient person and still show love? Tonight, we're going to look at Luke 15. We're going to start at verse 11. And this is the parable of the lost son. But tonight, I want to look at this from the perspective of the father. And I'm going to interject myself and sometimes as how this father would react, and maybe ask yourself as a parent, how would you react? How would you react as we read this parable? See, as I was studying this, I really would like to know what happened before and what happened after this, just to know what happened. I mean, what happened after the oldest son? His father talked to him. Did they have the party all together? What happened after that? So just thoughts that were going through my mind. But we're going to look at Luke 15. We're going to start at verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed him for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now, I don't know how many times I've read this passage of scripture. We've all heard of the parable of the lost son, and all the time in reading that, it puts emphasis on the son. But tonight, I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of the father, and maybe the mother. The mother had to be somewhere there. So the parents, as this young man, and as I study this, we don't know the age because it's a parable. So he might have been middle age. We don't know his age, but I want us to look at how the father reacts, the decisions he made in letting his son go. But all the while, I truly believe that if this were a true story, that this father showed love no matter what. He loved his son no matter what. I love my sons. I love all my children no matter what. So I'm going to let's put ourselves in this father's position, and will we do the same thing? If one of your children comes to you and says, "Hey, give me my inheritance. I want to go." What would you say? What would you do? What would your thoughts be? We're talking about loving, being lenient as a parent. Two things that are extremely difficult because each situation is different. Each child is different. Each child learns different. Again, parenting is extremely, extremely difficult. So verse 11, we're going to go some of these verse by verse, and then there's some we're going to skip over. We'll look at some of these together. Verse 11, the certain man, we're talking about the father now, had two sons. Now verse 12, the younger of them, we don't know his age, comes to his father and asks for his inheritance. Now as a father, looking at this, would I see greed in my son's eyes? A lot of thoughts went through my mind as I put myself in the shoes of this father. Why would my son want to lose everything he has right now for the world? As a father, we raise our children. We know our children. As parents, you know your children. If a child comes and asks you for something, you can tell by the look on their face, generally, "All right, what are you up to?" As a father, I know when my boys come to me, "Dad," this look on their face, "Dad, the youth are going to do this, and we need X amount of dollars because it costs this much." As a parent, we know. As a parent, you know. As a father, this father had to know his son's heart. He had to know what his son's intentions were with the money. But in knowing that, in knowing his son's heart, he chose to give him his half of the inheritance and let him go. I want to read another verse here in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 8. As a father, as a leader in the home, and use yourself as a parent, never discount your teaching moments for your children. The moment they breathe life, they are learning from you. They are learning from you. Your voice, your tone, your actions, your children are learning from you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 8. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as a frontlet between thine eyes." Diligently teach your children. From little on up, diligently teach your children God's word. So another question I had. Again, I got questions. I'm hoping in all these questions that at the end of the night, in our conversations afterwards, that we have some conclusions and answers. Question. How could have the father reacted when his son asked for his inheritance? Then I asked the question, how would you react? The father could have said no. He could have gotten upset. He could have gotten angry at his son for even asking. He could have disowned his son. Which, in thinking about that scenario, when the father would have disowned his son would have left in anger. And to trying to get a son back that is angry at the father is going to be next to impossible. There's a situation I've heard of in the last few years of a father, and very, very conservative father. He had bought his son a farm, and his son thought about leaving that church and going to another church. And his father, in wanting to hold the reins in yet on his son, contemplated taking that farm back from his son. Now I ask the question, is that love? Is that leniency? Is that being a parent? I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. We can talk afterwards about that. But is that the correct way to show love to a son? An adult son. Isaiah 54, verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So when children are taught from little on up the truth of God's word, as far as how to be a loving parent, how to show the child love the correct way, they will grasp that, they will hold on to it, and as they get older, they will want to do the same things for their children. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect parent. There's many times in my life where I've looked back and, I was not lenient enough. I didn't show enough grace in that situation. In all those times, did I still love my children? Yes. But I didn't show grace for them to understand the point that I was trying to get across. I was maybe too forceful. And sometimes we as parents, well, that's the way my dad did it. That's the way my grandfather did it. And we soon say it's generational. But you have a choice as a father, as a mother, to change that. Proverbs 15, verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You go jump over to Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, it starts from little on up. And I want to say that a lot of prayer is involved. A lot of searching out God's word is involved in knowing how to look at that situation and allow God to use you to make the right decision in that situation. Still showing love the whole time. But there are times when you have to be lenient, and there's times when you have to be... Saying no is not a bad thing. Saying no as a parent is not a bad thing. Looking at this father here in this parable, he could have said no. And I've always wondered, why didn't he say no? We'll never know. I've used my own thoughts for this. And as we read that, if you were this young man's father, would you have given him the inheritance and allowed him to walk away? I myself, this is my heart as a father, I don't know that I could have given my son his inheritance. We don't know his age. He could have been middle age. We don't know his maturity level. See, a lot of times in being lenient, the child is maybe more mature. So you can say, okay, I can be a little bit more lenient here. You can be lenient on a young child as well. Certain situations, they're all different. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I've witnessed many times in my life, and maybe I've been guilty of this as well, of not correcting a child quickly. We have rules for our children as far as running in church. as far as how to act in public or at home. There shouldn't be really a difference, but sometimes at home, well, even in the van on the way up here, things got carried away. But there are things we need to do as a parent to make sure that we set guidelines, we set rules, that we are not lenient on those. In being lenient on those, our children, in their minds, we've already approved in their minds that it's okay to continue in that manner. Again, I'm full of questions tonight. Did Eli love his sons Hophni and Phinehas? We know what Hophni and Phinehas had done. Everybody knew what Hophni and Phinehas had done. Did Eli love his sons? Sure, as a father, I'm sure he loved his sons. Was he too lenient on them? Because everyone knew what was going on. Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Parents, we are not to cover for our children. We are not to allow in any way of them to think it's okay to show disrespect to one another, to hit, to call the children names, to openly disobey you or another adult, or to criticize or challenge your authority that God has placed on you. In doing so, you have allowed your child to believe that the actions, words, or behavior that has just taken place is acceptable. There are some times where it's open, it's obvious that there's discipline needs to happen. And there are some times where it's not so obvious. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. How many times have I, as a father, went to discipline my son or daughter out of anger? I didn't step back from the situation, and I disciplined out of anger. Was love obvious in my heart? Our children know. Our children are very, very receptive to us as fathers and mothers and how we approach them. Does discipline still need to happen? Yes, absolutely. But sometimes we need to step back. Proverbs 127, verses 1 to 5. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. I was thinking about that. The whole quiver and having each quiver is different for each person, each man. But an arrow is what? What part is the quiver? You have, I don't know the right terminology for the arrow. I don't archery hunt. I rifle, sorry. We have the broadhead or whatever fixed blade you have on the end. Please correct me afterwards. You have the longer piece, and you have the feathers on the end, right? The piece that matters most is all three of them, but the impact of the arrow to cut through, the sharpness of the blade. In thinking of having a quiver full, what good is the quiver full if the arrow is not sharp? You can have a quiver full of children. Your van is full, your house is full, it is overflowing, there is laughter, there is joy, but the arrow is not sharp. It starts from little on up to make sure we are constantly, as parents, sharpening that arrow. That way when they are old enough, they become parents as well, that they know what it means to be on target. Verses 17 and 19, we're going to jump down here just a few. We look at the Father. The Father gave the inheritance, and I'm going to envision the Father sitting on the porch of his house, and he's letting his son go, gave his inheritance away. His son's walking down the road away. And the mindset of the Father. He loves his son. He loves his son tremendously. But he just gave his son his inheritance, and he let him go. I myself, as a father, can't imagine letting my son go. Maybe that's, I don't know. Imagine yourself as a father sitting on that porch, seeing your son walk off. Imagine your heartache. Imagine the pain in your heart. Because you know your son. You know what's going to happen to your son or daughter. Because verses 17 to 19, this is after he had lost everything. He had nothing to eat in verse 16 to fill his belly. I mean, in verse 16, it was the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave anything unto him. He had nothing to eat. I can't imagine one of my sons or daughters going somewhere else, being abandoned, not having any food, not having anything. In my heart as a father, I want to help them. Verses 17 to 19, this is when the son kind of came to himself, came to his senses. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I remember years ago, one of my first car was an old police cruiser from the state police. It was an unmarked car. Fast car. Very fast car. I got into so much trouble with that car. I'm just being upfront and honest tonight. I lost my license with that car. That's how fast I was. But when I came home, what did my dad do? He didn't say, well, I told you so. If you would just drove slower, or you should have just parked it and got something else. My dad didn't say anything. Because he knew I had learned from my lesson. I'd come to my senses. Don't drive fast. Obey the speed limit. 17 to 19, the son comes to his senses. I want to read another verse here in James 3, verse 17, before we go on. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So wisdom to your children, so that when they are older, they don't stray away. Not from what you say, but how you teach them through God's word. Teach your children in a peaceable way. Verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off. We're going to stop right there. I've looked at this verse, I don't know how many times in the last 2 months as I've been studying over this. And I love this verse. Not because of the son's plight. Not because of the son's plight. But because of the father's reaction. Because I envision myself as I'm sitting on the porch. I'm still waiting for my son to come home. And I envision the father sitting on the porch. And he sees his son afar off. As we look in the latter part of this verse, it says, and his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He's sitting on a rocking chair on the porch. And he's waiting for his son to come home. Loving his son the whole time. Lenient enough to let him go. To stumble. To learn. To fall. But having compassion and mercy enough to bring him back as a father. There are times when we need to show love We need to show love all times, and there are times when we need to be lenient and to be merciful. The hardest part in being a parent and when is the right time to be lenient. There are times when we as parents cry out, "Lord God, what shall I do?" I'm sure there were times when my parents cried out, "Lord, help, please." I was young. I've made mistakes. My children have made mistakes. I don't love them any less. In fact, I love them more when they come to me and say, "Dad, I messed up. I need your help." Absolutely. I am glad you value me as a father, that I can be of assistance to you here right now. So what does the father do? We know that he gathers all his servants. He brings forth the best robe. He puts it on him. He puts a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he kills the fatted calf. And he says, "Let us eat and be merry." So the father had his son back. None of us here tonight has ever lost a child that has run off. Maybe you have. And maybe you can relate. But was the father too lenient in letting his son go? In my opinion, as a father, why would you do that? I keep looking at this, like, why would you let him go? You knew your son. As parents, we know our children. But that's what his son wanted to do. The hardest part of being a parent is being lenient, letting them go. I'm not saying disobeying and living in sin. As a child, if as a parent, you have rules for your house, and if it's something that goes against God's word, then there must be discipline. If it's something that goes against your authority as a parent, then there must be discipline. You can't ingrain in your children to disobey and get away with it. There's repercussions for that years down the road. I've always wondered if the father was too lenient in letting him go in the first place. And I've questioned, as I've studied this, as a father, if my child did the same thing, would I do what this father did? Would I make a feast? Would you make a feast for your child as you welcome them home? Would you sit on the porch and welcome that son or daughter home? Run out to them in the roadway, in the path, and welcome them home? I pray that you would, because of the grace and the mercy that Jesus Christ has shown you. That's love. Love is loving your child in spite of their actions. Would I open the front door to my house and say, "Come on in, we have the table ready"? I know my parents did. And look back at your own lives. I'm sure some of you have made mistakes. I'm sure your parents had some sleepless nights. But they still love you no matter what. So love should never be an option. It's the leniency part that we struggle with as parents. We should love no matter what. Proverbs 17, verse 6, it says, children's children, so this is like my children's children, are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. I was looking over this last night at the shop a little bit. I always look over it before I go somewhere else. Just to, "Lord, what else do you have for me?" And it's been 4 years now since my dad passed away. And I remember 6 years ago, maybe, we had a great conversation. He said, "Reuben, you know what? He made a lot of mistakes, and he admitted it as a father. He wasn't always loving. He wasn't always merciful. He wasn't always lenient. But he said, hey, keep doing what you're doing, because," he said, "I can see that Christ is in your children. That doesn't make me a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination. But he saw something." And I was thinking about this last night. You know what? Those of you that have parents yet, that have your mom or dad, tell them how much you appreciate the insight, the love that they gave you. Because I have my mom. I don't have my dad anymore. He passed away 4 years ago. And I would love to sit and just, hey, Dad, what would I do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? As a parent, how would you react? How should I react? What do I do? We have God's word for that. Absolutely. But don't discount the value and the knowledge of a mother or father. Because someday they're going to be gone and you can't turn to them. It's up to you now. A lot of times we take our parents for granted. Life goes by so fast. And looking at this parable that Jesus gave, a lot of it is always on the son. And this father showed tremendous mercy and leniency and love at the same time. I just love that aspect of how Jesus points that out. He doesn't really call out the father. It's all about the son. But it's in this passage of scripture. A question for the children. Children, do you look up to your parents? Do you recognize the incredibly hard job they have in trying to make the right decisions for you, in trying to guide you through life, in trying to keep you from the snares of the devil? I'm at an age now where I can look back and, man, I wish I would have accepted my parents' advice years ago. I know they love me, but there were things that I did that I shouldn't have, and they warned me of, and I did them anyway. Children, if you can grasp what your parents are trying to pull you through, if you can grasp the things that your parents are trying to keep you from, they love you tremendously. They are trying to keep you from things that will take you down a path that you don't want to go down, that may end up like the lost son. Do you recognize what your parents' job is? Verse 25. We're going to look at a little bit of a viewpoint of the older son. It says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." Verse 28, what is the heart of the older son? He is filled with bitterness and anger. And I wondered, could we all react the same way this older son did? Are we welcoming of family that has gone astray? Do we love our family that has gone astray? The older son maybe didn't react in love. He just accepted the fact that, he thought I'm going to stay with Dad and I'm just going to get everything and everything's going to be perfect. He didn't understand the heart of his father. The heart of his father was one of love for his lost son. But again, this is where the next verse is here, verses 29 and 30. This is where the heart of the father comes out again. Verse 29, he says, "And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And the father says in verse 31, "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." The father saying to the oldest son, "Son, everything I have is yours. I love you. I cherish you. I value your hard work. I value your steadfastness to me. I value your commitment to me and the family. I value everything about you." Just because one child chooses a different path doesn't mean we as parents love them any less. I have a brother. I have two brothers and two sisters. There's five of us. And I have a brother who for the last 20 years has struggled with alcohol. It had landed him in jail 6 months. He's had 3 DUIs. We were raised in the same family under the same roof. We had the same teaching. Our parents loved us the same way. Why would he go that way and I choose to go a different path? I don't know. I'm grateful for the path that I've chosen. Do I love my brother any less? There are times where it was very, very difficult. I was about to sell a motorcycle, and what did he do? He wrecked it. He totaled it. He totaled a nice Chevy pickup. These are all material things, but I still love my brother. In the last 4 months, he has stated to me, "Reuben, I think it's time to go back to church." I never condemned him. I never lost my heart for my brother. He knows that I loved him the whole time, but he said, "Reuben, I think it's time that I get back to what I'm supposed to be. I've messed up," and he recognized that. We as followers of Christ, Christ living in us, need to show love no matter what. Love no matter what. Verse 32, it says, "And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." And we look at that verse, that is the love of a father. That is the love that any parent should have for their child. Sometimes our children make decisions, they make choices, and sometimes it's the right choice. It's a choice that we as parents say, "Yes, that makes me happy." And there are times where the child makes a choice that we may not agree with. It does not mean I don't love my children any less. It does not mean you don't love your children any less. This father, in verse 32, shows his oldest son that his son was lost, his youngest son was lost, but he is home. He showed the heart of a father and how we as parents all should act toward our children. Verse 32, there, in saying it was meet, it was fitting. Has there ever been a time that it has been fitting for you to celebrate someone that was lost? I celebrated the day my brother called me and said, "Hey, it's time for me to go back." There's a time to celebrate the lost. Proverbs 22, verse 6, I alluded to this one earlier. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." This starts from, I believe it starts when the baby's in the womb. The child hears your voice. They know you. They know your tone. They know everything about you as a husband and as the father and the mother. And little on up, as you train your children, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I do know as a father, and looking at this parable that Jesus gave, that the hardest part of being a parent is letting go. Cutting the apron strings, so to speak, sometimes, and letting go. Love always. Love always. Sometimes some reining in needs to be done. But I view this parable in a different light as I've studied this from the heart of the Father. And I think Jesus shows that well in how it was worded as well, how he worded it, because we can clearly see the heart that this father had for his son. So I ask you tonight, is it hard to show love? Or is it hard to be lenient? Because sometimes those two get confusing. I think we need to love every chance we get. Show your child love. Show them mercy when they need mercy. Be lenient. But but the most important is pray about it. Ask the Lord, "Lord, what should I do in this situation?" Because every situation for your children could be different from one to the next. So tonight, I don't have a, "Hey, this is what you need to do." I wish I did. Because if we did, then we would all be perfect parents. But my prayer tonight is that we learn from this father in this parable. And we learn that sometimes it's best to let go. Just let go. But never, ever stop loving your child. Parents, you have a very, very difficult job. You think of lumberjacks, you think of these guys that are running pipeline and doing all this hard physical work. It is. It's hard physical work. Don't get me wrong. But parents, you have the hardest job in the world. And you have, the first 5 years are critical, 6 years are critical. But as you become grandparents and as you get older, the rewards far outweigh the heartache of getting up to that point. There's going to be tough times. It's difficult. But be steadfast. Read Proverbs. Read this parable. There's plenty in Scripture to guide you along the way. So my prayer tonight is that we look at this parable and that we go forward here from tonight challenged how to show love. Be a parent. Sit on the porch with binoculars and wait for that child to come back. Be ready. Because someday, if you show love enough, that child is going to come back and you better run to that child and you better open that door. And don't live in your failures. We all make mistakes. So don't live in failures as parents. I know parents that have made mistakes and they dwell on those. Don't live in your failures. Learn from it. Move on. Let's stand for a closing prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here tonight. I just thank you for this parable that you've given us. I pray that each one of our hearts tonight have been stirred to action, to show love to our children, to be lenient when you call us to say no when we have to. But as we look at this parable that Jesus spoke of here, that we can see what the true heart of the Father was in a different light in this parable. And that we as parents remain steadfast in showing our children love, but showing mercy and being lenient when we have to. Be with each parent tonight that's here as they have the most difficult job of raising a family. I pray that each one that is here, that they would seek your word, your will in their lives, study it, and that when they need to, that they would step back and pray about it. Seek your will. See what you would have them to do in each situation in life. Bless each family here as they raise their family for you. Thank you for their attendance tonight, and I just pray that our discussion afterward will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.